Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm so glad you tuned in. A happy Tuesday. Hope your week is off to a great start. Well, you know, there's so much we can learn from studying the Bible. And one thing to learn is that God speaks the truth, and even the truth that enemy tries to twist and make it sound partially true, which makes it a lie. He's the father of lies. We're going to talk today about how to identify the lies in our life, because when we believe a lie as if it's the truth, our own choices will sabotage the best of what God has for us. In a moment, Gail Dudley will join me to talk about her book, Who Told You That? The Truth About the Lies. You are in for a powerful hour. Second hour, Mark Merrill joins us again. If you remember, he talked to us about a month ago about an article blog that he wrote titled Seven Things Husbands Should Stop Doing. Well, today he's back to talk, second hour, about seven things wives should stop doing. So we've got an electric conversation for you today. Quick, important announcement I want to give you is that our third annual Faith Radio Writers Contest is about to fire up on Monday. We're going to start taking submissions, but even now, there's some information on our website, myfaithradio.com. We're doing a few things different this year. As we've done in the past years, you can do the fiction track or the nonfiction track. Something different is the theme. We're going to go by a theme rather than giving you an opening line, and the theme is grace. So be thinking about that, praying about that. Now, here's another thing that's different. Instead of in-house judges on your pieces that you submit, your friends and listeners and on social media will see that your submission online, your name won't be on it, and they'll vote. And so listeners and friends on social media will really determine the winners, all right? And the editors will be looking at this as well. And who I'm talking about are our friends from Bethany House and Baker House Publishing, because the top six winners, top three fiction and nonfiction, get to come to the studio here in the Twin Cities. We're going to have a luncheon right in the green room, right outside the studio where I'm sitting right now. And then you get a face-to-face, a 10 to 15-minute appointment with one of either the fiction or nonfiction acquisitions editor. Now, if you know anything about writers' conferences, you pay a good tuition. I've done this many times before. To attend writers' conference, part of the tuition is you get a face-to-face with an editor. This is a profound opportunity for you, if you're an aspiring author, to sign up and submit your piece, and then maybe you're going to be one of the winners and can come in. And maybe you get a face-to-face with one of these editors. You pitch your idea. And just maybe God will open the door. Maybe this is your year to take that next step towards getting published. I would love it. I know we've got a lot of aspiring authors, so check it out. A little bit of information on our website right now, myfaithradio.com, on our landing page. More will be up on Monday, all right? All right, let me tell you about my first hour guest, and we'll get her on the show. Gail Dudley is an author and international speaker with a passion for unpacking the Word of God. She is a CEO and publisher of Ready, a quarterly publication. She's also the author of seven books. She currently serves alongside her husband, Reverend Dr. Kevin Dudley, in a church plant in Columbus, Ohio. You can find her on the web at GailDudley.com. Gail, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Susie.
Great to be with you. Well, we always love starting our conversations talking scripture, Gail, and I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just a verse the Lord's been speaking to you about these days you can share with us.
Sure. My life verse is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I live by that verse. I believe that verse. And anytime I feel as if my back is up against the wall, once I quote this verse, I come out with so much strength and belief and knowing that God is who he says he is. And that at that moment, I know without a doubt that I can do all things through him, through Christ who gives me strength.
You make such a good point, Gail, as far as just telling a gal I mentor the other day about, you know, the voices in our head, the lies that the enemy messes with are in our mind. And when I speak out God's word, when I say it out loud so my ears hear it, something changes for me because that voice is truth, and then it's louder than the voices that ring in my head. Have you found that to be true as well?
Yes. It's life-changing. I know that's a cliche, and that's the word that everyone uses, but it truly is life-changing. To hear it, through your own ears says, I can do this. I can do this because God is the one who's given me the strength to be able to do it.
Well, Gail, before we get into this whole idea, which I love the title, Who Told You That? Because we have to retrace some of the things that derail us and find out the source of them. I love a little backstory on your faith journey, how you came to Christ.
Wow. You want the most recent one?
That's funny. Yeah, like the last 10 times.
Yeah. Right, right. Well, I had been involved in church all my life, pretty much. My parents took me to church, and I was curious. I'll use that word. I was really curious as to what people were talking about. So I started doing my own study, then started going to our youth groups when I was older, junior high school, and it was in my senior year of high school that I really truly came to know the Lord for myself and completely gave my life over to Christ. Now, did everything change? Absolutely not. Because actually right after then, at the age of 18, I ended up having a son outside of marriage, and of course all the shame and guilt and doubt and everything else came upon me. And going back to that scripture, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, is really what pulled me and carried me over even from that. And the journey just continued to grow. I started working with the young ladies in our youth group at the church. I started growing more. I realized that God, you know, loved me when I thought after the sin I committed, there was no way he would ever love me again. And that intimacy with Christ just grew more and more and more. And I made the decision probably 25, 26 that this is the way I want to live the rest of my life. There can't be anything better than having an intimate relationship with Jesus and mm-hmm. living all in for Christ.
Indeed. And wow, I appreciate that so much, Gail. And just thinking about your story, you mentioned getting pregnant, but the backstory in that, even in your book, is when you were in high school, I mean, you were intending on going to college and you were babysitting for a woman, and she herself discouraged you from going to college. Tell us what she said to you and how even what she told you got into your soul in the ripple effect that followed.
That's interesting that you pull that out the book. I was just thinking about that the other day, kid you not, talking with some young ladies at the church. I was babysitting for her. Not that we used the term nanny back at that point, but I would travel with her, and I was preparing to go to school. I was what you would call a good student, great grades at school on different within different committees and clubs and student council. And I was the vice president of the senior class, just everything. And I was preparing all of my applications and looking at all the letters from colleges that were coming in, accepting me and trying to make decisions. This woman, I'll never forget, she said that I was not college material, that I would never succeed. And just listening to her, because I was with her so often, that it just started taking root in my spirit. And I started thinking, wow, you know, who am I to think I could do this, let alone what was coming in the mail accepting me in colleges? It's like I never even received those letters. Mm-hmm. I listened to what this woman was saying to me, and because I believed that she loved me and that she cared for me and wanted the best for me, I started believing everything she was saying to me.
I think what you just said is startling. It's like I never received those letters. I'm just thinking of that person listening today. You transfer that, like you never received those letters from the Lord, from the Word of God, that somebody said something to you that's derailed you. I just feel, based on Gail's story, just a nudge. If you've been told a lie that you still feel like is lying to you still, and you can call anonymously, I just want to stand with you, Gail, and I will pray with you. But today's the day. Today's D-Day. Time to put that thing under your feet and believe what's true. 877-933-2484. We've got four copies, I think, of Gail's book. 877-933-2484. I think as you're listening to Gail, something resonates with you, and you think, somebody said something to me, and it felt true, and I believed it was true. And Gail, to think about all of the potential that you had, and you still have, but that you, when you would believe that truth, I mean, I can totally see why you'd believe it to be true. And you have a baby, and you don't go to college. And then I just wanted to scream as I'm sitting at my desk reading this, to make matters worse. when it comes for your comes time for your baby's dedication, you're not allowed to stand with him because you were an unwed mother. I'm telling you what, I'm like, okay, I'm going to bend somebody's fingers back. I'm so mad about that. But I want, here again is another situation where you received a lie. And so what was the message that that sent to you, that experience?
Oh, that message was guilt and shame all over again.
Right.
Cause, you know, I birthed a healthy baby boy. We were excited because I had not too soon before that accepted Christ as my, you know, my Lord and my Savior and being a part of the kingdom. I expected women and men to surround me, to love me, to see me through. And there was some shunning and there was some, you know, you did wrong, you're going to hell, just all these things that were taking place. And then When I'm wanting and ready to give my son, his name is Alexander, back to the Lord, the pastor said, you can do that, but you cannot really participate in it. You can have your parents bring your son forward.
Wow.
You can have your designated godparents of the child bring the child forward, but you yourself cannot do that. And I, you know, I had to say okay to that because it didn't matter. I still wanted to follow the rules, if you will, to have him dedicated back. That was a painful experience. It's like I really could not even celebrate that. Mm. But that was a very shunning time.
So sorry. So sorry.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, I do this listening prayer thing at the events I speak at, and I just give qualifiers. You're not writing the Bible. The Bible's been written. But if you're not listening in prayer, you're missing the best part of the dialogue. And just kind of giving a setup for, and I have them right at the top of the page, my precious child, I want you to know that I, and want them to write a love letter as they hear the Lord speaking to them. And one woman sat in the front row, young woman, and she had her arms crossed. She looked like she wanted me dead. And I wanted to just pray and have him go, but I felt the nudge from the Lord to just say, make the appeal that everyone participate. Just make the appeal one more time. So I said, you know, I just believe the Lord has something to say to each and every one of you. Then I prayed, put the music on, and Gail, that girl in the front row, very, very conservative denomination. I can't even stress the context. No clapping to music, no nothing. And I'm not shaming you. I'm just saying the context was that. And this woman goes to the floor within a minute of that music, and her arms are flailing, and she's crying out to God. Like the woman with the alabaster jar. And I went over to her, and I got some leaders around her. I said, what's going on? And she's sobbing, and she said, 3.5 years ago, as a teenager, I got pregnant, and the leaders from my church ousted me and said, you've done it. God will not speak to you now for 7 years. And she said, it's only 3.5 years in, and I hated you for asking us to do this because I was going to have to sit and watch. But then you made the appeal one more time, and I put the pen to paper, and the first thing that came off my pen was, that wasn't me. I've missed you. And I just think, Gail, how oftentimes men and women, mere men, try to speak on behalf of God, and he must wince when he's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I feel like that for you, these two times must have broken God's heart, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. I agree with you. And it's hard to bounce back because it created a wound.
Yeah.
And I would say maybe 10 years ago, and I'll be 50 in July, 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, I really dealt with that wound at the root of it and realized that that is not at all what God would have had me to do. Mm. And I had to work my way through that. And as so many people know, if you're a writer, writing this book was difficult because it was exposing all of these different things. But through writing it, it was also my healing for a lot of it as well.
Mm. Well, the thing about lies is they rarely, I should say, stand alone. It's like they link with other lies, making them easier to believe until we're completely bound by these words that feel true but aren't true. I want you to talk about that dynamic where lies typically travel in pairs or triplets. Do you know what I'm saying? Where it's like we're more susceptible to believe that lie or that lie if we're already believing this lie.
You're absolutely correct. One thing, and if I can bring out the scripture in one of the chapters that I use, talking about Nehemiah, where Nehemiah, I think, is chapter 6, verse 8, where Sanballat sent the message messenger over to him about building the wall and making the statement, there's not a gap left in the wall. Well, the gates were not set, so there had to have been a gap in the wall. And most of us would have believed the messenger, knowing that we were the ones working on the wall and the gates have not been set. But that believing that lie comes from, and Nehemiah did not believe the lie, believing that lie comes from all the other lies that have been embedded in our minds. And I think Joyce Meyer says it best, where it's a battlefield of the mind, and we're trying to determine what's true and what's false, just like the letters that came from the college. I had the letters, but I was still believing the lie of what someone else was speaking to me. So I had that lie. I had the lie that, you know, I had this, my son out of wedlock. I have that lie. I have lies from teachers telling me I will never amount up to much of anything or I'll never be successful. So I had those lies. So all those lies were just becoming that root, and that root was growing deeper and deeper to where I started losing myself and losing exactly who I am in Christ. And he redeems us. And when I think about Psalm 103, he redeems us, and it says, forget not all the benefits, and that's all the benefits. And coming up out of that hole is difficult, but if there's anyone listening today, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth pulling yourself out, no matter how difficult it is or how painful it may be, because it gets very painful when you start pulling back all those layers. Because what most of us do, we just put a Band-Aid over our wound. And most of us know it's when we take the Band-Aid off and let that scab dry up. And even when that scab comes off, there's still some indication of that wound. But that's okay, because there's been a healing process, and that's going to hurt when you're going through that. But these lies can become so embedded and so deep and so rooted that at some point we're to a place of suffocating, and we're just wanting someone to give us relief and to give us help. And that's another reason why I wrote this book, because I come in contact with so many women and girls who are in the place of merely drowning, and they just need to know the truth. And even when you tell them the truth, they don't believe it. The other day I was with a lady at the hospital who actually had a brain tumor, and she had surgery to remove the tumor. And yes, she's now on steroids, and she was talking about her face was enlarging because of the steroids. And I said to her, I said, but you're still beautiful. And she says, no, I'm not. And I said, listen, you are still beautiful. Right now you're in a temporary situation, but your beauty comes from the inside out. And it took me a long time to just talk to her and to get her to believe you have not changed. You had a situation. The situation was causing you sickness, but now that sickness has been removed, it's time for you to go through the healing process. And so many of us want to quickly get through the healing process, but it is a process for a reason.
Indeed.
And we have to take each layer, each lie, and we have to face that, because it's a wound that we've been dealing with. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes. And when God begins to start removing some of those layers, you'll start thinking about all the connection of, okay, this happened because of this, and I believe this lie because of that lie. And there's days you just want to cry, but you can't give up. You have to keep allowing the Lord to reveal each of those layers, because at the end of those layers is the freedom. And when you get to the inside, there's that seed, and it all started with a small seed that grew into this big piece of fruit that has become bad, but we have to discard it. We have to prune it so that we can be free from all of that stuff we've been told.
You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And again, if there's a lie that's come to you, I asked that on Facebook. I think there's probably 50 comments, and so many of them are not enough, not lovable, not worthy of love or anything good. We'd love to stand with you and pray for you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. You can call anonymously, but maybe today's the day to shake the shackles off and to be free. You can also email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Linda's checking in, and she's wants us to stand with her today. Linda, thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. This is just, I've got goosebumps as big as my head.
Mm.
I just left counseling. I am, in a nutshell, a 64-year-old woman who has been sexually abused starting at the age of four. My identity was always in how a man loved me, and it was always about rejection. And my counselor today has said words to me like, Linda, who told you that? And then I hear this, and I know God is talking to me, and I know these things. And then he said to me, are you still, you know, in that abuse, or are you just remembering it? And I know I'm just remembering it due to some circumstances coming up tomorrow that, you know, I had to make a decision to go attend or not attend in this thing. But it's just everything that, that you both are saying, and God is using you, and it's, you know, it's like the skies are opening up, and it's so painful. You're 50. You said you were going to be 50. I just turned 64 the beginning of this month, and it's like I still feel like I'm that four-year-old. I can. I still don't, but I can feel like that four-year-old girl that was, you know, told by her mother, I didn't want you, and I tried to, you know, abort you, but it didn't work, so I guess you're supposed to be here. And onward, and it went on and on. And I tell you, it is a journey, and it doesn't go away overnight, but that onion peeling away thing. And then you say that, and I'm like, I know God's talking to me.
Linda, he's so devoted to you, and he will renew your youth like the eagles. And it's hard to hang on to truth when it doesn't feel true. But the very fact that he's wooing you today means he's inviting you to a new place. And Gail, I wonder, first of all, you're going to get Gail's book, Who Told You That? But I want Gail, if you would stand with her and pray for her, if you would.
Yes. Your name is Linda?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Linda. We thank you for her being vulnerable at this time as we are sharing. God, you are indeed speaking into her life right now. And I just ask that your hand of healing would be upon her. May she continue this journey and continue to see the lies exposed. And may she hold on to the truth that you have for her. God, I also pray no weapon formed against her shall prosper. God, right now, touch her mind, transform her thinking. May she focus on those things that are true and not those things that are appear to be true, but in reality they are lies. So God, cover her now. We stand with her.
Yes,
we will
Lord.
Continue to pray for her this day and always as we are on this journey together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Linda, I'm thinking of one more thing. Psalm 51:6 says, "You desire truth in my inmost being, and in those hidden places you'll make me know wisdom." And I think what Gail's talking about before is that's how deeply embedded the lie is. That's why he wants truth embedded in our soul. And think of the rest of that verse, in those hidden places you'll make me know wisdom. Because when a lie is embedded, we know dysfunction, we know brokenness, we're constantly, consistently inconsistent because we either trip up out of those areas, sin out of those areas, or fall down out of those areas. So once that lie's been extracted and truth is in the innermost place of your soul, you have wisdom, you have credibility, you have authority because you're someone who's still standing, who's got a story to tell, and you will have reoccupied your land in a way that you can help others do the same, which is what Gail has done. And that is part of the kingdom story for us as Christ followers. That's your inheritance, Linda. And I pray that you will lay hold of it as God is, because the letters have come in the mail. The letters are in the mail. You know that you are the object of his affection. Nothing anybody could say about you could trump what God already says about you. So thank you. Thank you for your call, hon.
Thank you. I'm grateful
God
for your prayers
you.
And everything. Thank you. God bless you.
Mm. And this is the wonder of the truth setting us free, Gail, isn't it? Because the truth is true no matter what. But if we don't believe it, it might as well not be to us because our choices reflect the lie that we believe.
That's true. You're absolutely correct. And it's so easy to believe the lie. And even putting this, doing research and putting this book together, I kept trying to figure out why is it so easy for us to believe the lie? It takes us so much longer to believe the truth, but we'll believe a lie in a second.
Mm. Wow. So, so true. Well, we're going to take a break here in just a moment. When we come back, I want you to retell the story that the gal who wrote your foreword, a friend of yours, Kelly, I believe, she writes in the foreword about how she received an email from someone saying, calling a business sort of into account, maybe a disparaging email. And she had the courage to write back and say, who told you that? And it sort of unpacked and unfolded and ripple affected. And I just think that's a great example of how sometimes we need to retrace something rather than being so quick to believe it, like you just said. So let's chat about that on the other side, all right?
Sure.
Okay, talking to Gail Dudley. Title of her book is Who Told You That? The Truth About the Lies. Don't you think it's time to know the truth about these lies that you and I believe? I'd say it's time. You got questions? You want to chime in and comment? We'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We're with Gail Dudley in a moment. Confession time. At every single one of my speaking events, I get the women up and we dance to this song. I'm just saying. We get up and we put our arms in the air and we step touch and we twirl and we shake the shackles, because sometimes you just got to get up and dance and declare your freedom. Don't you think, Gail?
Yes, I was sitting here just jamming to the song. I was like, all right, now, Susie.
Come on, now, come on. Get up and dance and shake the shackles. It's just because we walk around in bondage for so long. And it's so funny, Gil, because, you know, I call it exercise in the places where women aren't allowed to dance. I'm like, oh, did I say dance? No, I meant exercise. Get up, we're going to exercise. And I actually have gotten emails from women in their 70s saying, you know, I loved everything you had to say, but I got to tell you, I was never allowed to move to music, and that dance set me free. I mean, you even address some of the things in the book, like if you show up at church in slacks instead of a skirt, you're going to hell. How many of those things do people hear that suddenly jar them and they think, this is from a loving God? Like, because they interpret it as a voice of God, because it's someone in authority. I mean, say a word about that.
Wow. It is amazing that the bondage that we carry with us and how we insert Christ or God's not going to love you, or you're going to go to hell if you wear pants to church, if you wear makeup, if you wear a skirt that comes right at your knees, it has to be down to your ankle, if you cut your hair. Actually, my own grandmother said that to me, because my hair, I used to be able to sit on my hair. And I decided I was the radical one out of five children. I'm the radical one, and they'll all say that. I'm now just radical for Jesus. But I was talking about getting my hair cut, and my grandmother said, the Lord knows the number of hairs on your head, and you're not to cut your hair. And if you do, He's not going to love you anymore, and you're going to go to hell. And for some reason, I just looked at her and I said, that's a lie. And at that point, I didn't even know, but I just said that. And that same day, I didn't just inch my hair up, I cut my hair off. And so I went from being able to sit on it to, like, it was almost like a young man's cut, pretty much. But just the things that we tell each other, how we want to classify sin and how we want to hold people captive and in bondage. And we wonder why some of us are breaking down and ready to throw in the towel and just say, I quit, because there's so many rules. But Jesus came to give us life and to give it in abundance. And we live by grace. And it's time for us to live into that grace and realize that the law is over.
Such a good word. My all three of my sons are married now. We had some belly laughing time over Easter. And my youngest son is 25. He said, Mom, I'm on to you now. He said, I know. He said, when I was younger, you told me I was super good at cleaning the bathroom. It's so that I would clean the bathroom. And I wasn't that good at it. You're just trying. And I said, no, you really were good. No, you're trying to get, and we were bantering back and forth. But I thought, you know what? A loving father doesn't tell us stuff to get us to do stuff. I mean, he tells us the truth so it'll set us free. And in response, we run after him with a wholehearted abandon, because it's a get to, you know?
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, in the foreword of your book, Gail, you got a friend, Kelly, who wrote the foreword, and she talked about this woman who sent her an email accusing a certain company of wrongdoing. Tell us how she handled it and kind of how that's a great analogy for us.
She handled that so well. Her name is Kelly Shaw. She's an author as well. And you know how you get these emails, and she ended up with the email talking about a company, a situation, and And there was something about the email. Kelly was thinking, there's no way this could be true. So she responded back to the woman, who told you that? And she encouraged the woman to, you know, research before you send out emails. You know, just do not, you know, simply read something and forward it. Research it. Well, the woman had decided to go and research it because Kelly was so adamant about her saying, this can't be the truth. There must be a piece of the story missing or you didn't get the whole thing. Well, the woman researched it, found out that the email was not true, and praise God, the woman decided to send out an apology to everyone she had sent that email to reveal to them that it wasn't true. And I have to give the woman credit for doing that. But just imagine her embarrassment and what came with that. And for me, it teaches us a lesson because people bring us stuff all the time.
Yeah, and they're trigger happy.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say they're trigger happy. They're really quick to forward, like you said, before they do their homework.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And half the time there's a piece of the story missing. And I talk about that, I believe, somewhere in the book. You know, we can share a story, and if we leave out one word or one sentence, it changes the entire story. So we have to be careful of that, especially gossiping or sharing information. For example, this just happened with us, and this is so fresh. This has only been a month ago. Our church, the church that my husband and I planted, we're now 10 years old. We had purchased a building about 5 years ago, and the building, the structure, the upkeep was becoming more expensive than to stay in that building. So we made the decision to sell the building, and we're now in a transition space, which means we're sharing space with another church, and we're in their main sanctuary. Well, within 2 weeks of us making, you know, the congregation that prayed, we had been praying about it for over a year. We moved just right before Easter. Everyone in the congregation is real excited about it. You know, we know God is going to do something great. But then to hear some of the stories that, oh, they got foreclosed on, or oh, they were kicked out of this building, we sit back and laugh because we have the check. And we're just like, what? Mm. You know, and it's no one's business that, you know, somebody purchased the building and, you know, we have money in the bank waiting to purchase something else. But it's just interesting, the stories that are out there and how many people actually believe it.
Exactly, because it's on the internet. I'm so sorry, because it's on the internet. It must be true. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like that's just the truth. And, you know, my husband. For me, because I still have some of those past wounds, I want to go and prove to everybody. I want to, like, take a picture of the check and show everyone. My husband said, no, we don't have to go out and defend ourselves and to prove ourselves. We in the church know what really happened, so let it be that way. But still, it does not stop the hurt that comes along with, you don't have anything better to do.
Exactly.
But then so who cares that we are worshiping and sharing space with another congregation? Isn't that what God would have us to do?
Indeed. And the thing is, there's an accountability with those who are quick to jump on the bandwagon, and because the measure you use will be used against you. And God is a defender of his people. And so if you're even wrongly assessed, God can defend your honor, and he will. I've just seen it again and again. But, you know, oftentimes, Gail, in my role, I'll hear from people saying, I want to hear from this preacher. I want to listen to them on the internet or go check out. But I've heard all these things said about them. And I said, we are in such a gossipy, electrified culture where people are so quick to write their opinions and spread them out on the World Wide Web. I no longer look at what people are saying about a particular person. I go right to that person to see what they're saying about Jesus. That to me, period. What are they saying about Jesus? And I'm pushing everything else aside because you can build a case against anybody, you know?
Exactly. You can. And why are we spending our energy that way? I believe God would have us to build up one another, not tear down one another.
Mm. And you also wrote about how the enemy will sow just enough of a lie into our souls to get us to end a friendship or relationship, to refuse a job, to take a next faith step. I want you to talk about why he's so effective in that strategy by sowing just enough of a lie that it feels true.
I really believe, and this was, it was really interesting researching the young girls, especially my daughter was in high school when I started working on this book. She's now her third year in college, and I would talk to a bunch of her friends, and then I would talk to a bunch of the moms of the friends, and I was trying to really get an understanding what was really going on, and then also looking at my own stuff. What happens is we're so defeated. We're so we're walking around so hopeless that we will believe anything. This lady, for example, was working on her resume to apply for a position at a major corporation in Columbus, Ohio, and it had asked for a bachelor's degree, and it said, but a master's degree is preferred. And she automatically discounted herself out of the running. And so I was asking her, I happened to be interviewing her for the book, and I said, well, explain to me how you've jumped to I just won't complete it. And she says, well, I'm sure they're going to look for a master's degree. And I was told before, when that's on the position description, that if I don't have that, I might as well not move forward. It's just a waste of time. And several of us encouraged her to go forward with it. And she ended up with three interviews and ended up getting the job.
Wow.
Still making on a higher level of the salary than, you know, as they were looking for a master's degree person. But it was her experience. So we talked about that afterwards. And I said, tell me again why you did not want to go forward. And she talked about, the more we talked, she talked about her fear. She talked about what has happened to her in the past. She talked about being around other women who was saying to her, you know, that's a waste of time. You probably need to go back to school, or you're too old now to return to school. You're best probably just doing a desk job 9 to 5. And she believed it. She just sat there and believed it, but she knew she had experience, she had life experience, she had completed a lot of the work as a consultant, as a contract consultant, but she would not get beyond all those things that were being told to her. And we had to just keep encouraging her, but women especially, and I'm sure this applies to men as well, but women especially, we are so defeated. We begin to just allow people to dump on us. And I hate to go here, Susie, but if I can, it's some of these television shows we watch, and we try to play that out into real life. I won't call out any particular shows, but I listen to people, and they start living that out in their world. And I have to remind them, you know, that's a television show, right? You can't go to work and act like this. These things don't happen. We have to live above that. We have to start looking at things for what they are. But even through television, people will believe a lie. I watch how people respond when someone's watching a particular series and someone has been killed off the series. They literally lose their mind. I'm like, you know they're still alive, right?
It was just in the script.
It was just in the script. And I think we get so entangled with those things. If we would get so entangled with the love of Jesus and what the word he's speaking into our life, can you imagine the power and the hope and the victory and the joy that we can live in each and every day? And I know, again, it's a process. But I think about the energy wasters that we have and how we allow things to just zap our energy. Today, I had to pull myself off of the news. I had to literally say, enough watching this. This is not life. I'm not going to lose it because of what I'm seeing play out in Baltimore. I need to find a way to pray and to live back in the joy, because it was draining me.
Yep. And that is the thing, is we have to pay attention to the fruit of it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That there's a grace to do what God wants us to do. But when we cross over that and it starts to take life from us, then we know we've kind of outstepped our grace. But regarding like these TV shows and all of these things, it seems that when we medicate our own pain, because the lie will bring up pain, and then we don't like how we feel, and so we medicate it, we short-circuit our spiritual growth. And so those who are getting so entwined in the lives of fictional characters are truly, I think, medicating a deeper issue. And it's like, boy, if you could step back for the purpose of being free, find out what is the lie that you're believing so you can be free apart from these fictional characters. I mean, truly, it's like we're missing out on a whole level of freedom, don't you think?
I totally agree with you, Susie. I had a lady not long ago who actually went through the book and the workbook of Who Told You That, and she said it actually saved her marriage. And I wanted to know, you know, give me the connection. She said she would watch all these different shows, and she believed in her head that her husband was having an affair, that it was almost driving a wedge between within their relationship. And she even hired a private detective who came back to her and said, "Lady, I've been following him for 3 months. He's not doing anything." But she had believed, because of all of these different shows and talk shows and everything that she was watching, if it even appeared that her husband was doing any of those items, she started believing that. She started living that out in her head. And I would say to her, who told you that? And she said, watching these programs.
Bingo. Lord help us. I want you to talk about the idea of guarding our heart and our minds. I thought it was an interesting story that you wrote about, Gail, where I think it was a friend's mom told you needed to do something about your image. I love those. I've had people run after my car to catch up to me to say, brown eyeliner, not black eyeliner, brown eyeliner. I know they mean well, but I mean, yours was even a little bit tougher. So talk about that one.
That's my blue jean story, right?
Yes, exactly.
A friend of mine, her mom, and she's a sweet lady, but she you know, kept saying, "I see your potential," and I'll never forget this. We were all together, and she was like, "I see your potential, but you just need to change your image, and you know, where's your pantyhose and your high heels and your jewelry." I mean, that was the look she wanted me to have, and I started explaining to her. I said, "Well, number one, pantyhose causes another issue, a female issue for me. So I really can't wear the pantyhose."
And they make a person crabby, at least a lot of us. Anyway.
Right. It's like, ooh, no. But, you know, she did not like the blue jeans. She did not like the way I was carrying myself. She thought I could dress up a little bit more. And, you know, if I was still in the rut that I was in, even prior to that conversation, I probably would have taken on that image and would have been one miserable person. But I made the decision that was her opinion, and I had to trust and believe that my image was okay. Do we all have some growing to do? Most definitely. Did the blue jeans need to change? No, because the blue jeans had nothing to do with what was in my heart. I find that I'm more effective when I'm in comfortable clothing. I believe you and I were together in Iowa, and I believe I had on blue jeans.
I believe you did, and you looked adorable, Gail. I'm just saying.
And it didn't matter. It was the message that was going forth, not the clothes that any of us had on. But this mom was really, she was adamant about me changing my image. And I needed to be respectful because she's a mom of my friend. And at the same time, I had to still be strong as a woman, wife, and mother, and a child of God to take a stand to say, but I'm okay. But I have learned, I have grown myself to where I don't argue with people much anymore. I normally just respond with, "That's interesting." And when I say that's interesting, that means I'm really not paying you much attention.
I'm going to watch for that next time.
And I'm telling my
secret. So what you're saying is, yeah. But you know what? That's good. I mean, one of my favorite authors, guests to have on the show is Mark Batterson. He's a best-selling author, wonderful pastor, one of really the most gracious people I've ever interviewed. And he said, "I've just made it a determination. I don't answer my critics anymore. I've got work to do. They can assess and critique me all day long. I've got other things I want to tend to that just I need to put my energy there." And I really love that, because there's not going to be any shortage of people critiquing and assessing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's interesting because sometimes we will follow a crowd instead of being a leader.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This listener wrote in and she says, "Thank you for this program today. I'm working on getting healing for the lies that people have told me. I'm going back to school and I just got a little negative feedback to my first lesson, and it triggered a lot of the negative thoughts I grew up with that I'm mentally challenged and have a low IQ. I still need help with my thoughts. Is there anything I can do to help myself refute those thoughts?" What do you say, Gail?
I I hate to start by saying this, but I believe it's really true, and it's not a pat answer, but prayer is really key. And then also, I believe in doing self-evaluations as well as self-talk. And I ask myself the question, where does this come from? And why am I hung up on something if someone shares something with me or if I'm dealing with something? If I'm playing it too much, if I'm replaying it in my mind, I have to take a step back and say, okay, where is this coming from? And what trigger has this hit for me? And where do I still need to work? And what do I need to identify? Read the end of that again for me, Susie.
And she said that just because she got a little negative feedback on her first lesson, which is so typical when you're taking those first steps to conquer a mountain, so to speak, or take on a new endeavor, that first hint of opposition kind of mirrors the lies you believed all in the first place. That's what happened. She got a little bit of negative feedback on her first lesson. It triggered a lot of the negative thoughts she grew up having, like that she's mentally challenged with a low IQ. And so she needs help with her thoughts, she says.
Right. And that's how I work through that. It's like, okay, why did this negative piece bother me? And I can use an example of when I'm doing workshops or conferences and I see the evaluations at the end. It's interesting how I will just deal with that one negative person, that one negative comment. And I'm thinking, okay, there's 1,000 great comments, but I'm replaying this one negative one. And I have to deal with, why does this bother me? What did this hit in me? And like the young lady said, that this brings up the past. So how do I move forward? And again, that's through prayer. I pray myself through. And I also tell myself, I give myself my own declarations, if you will. And that's where I go back to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. I am the head and not the tail. Here are all the promises that God's called me, said about me. Going back to Psalm 103, forget not all the benefits. And all those benefits is that we are redeemed, we are forgiven, we are loved, we are esteemed. And look at it that way. And it's not boastful, but see, that's another lie, Susie, we've been told. We've been told that we need to be completely humble, but we misunderstand what humble really means. It's not to be defeated. It's to be humble under the love of the Lord. It's not to be walking around with your head down and having no confidence in the Lord. It's almost a contradiction.
Totally.
It's you know, let's have confidence in the Lord, which is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another lie we've been told, and we believe that lie.
Yeah, I always say insecurity is another form of selfishness. I've just learned that because then I'm making every choice and decision and perspective with me in mind. And that's a parasite. That's totally different than humility, which I think is like harnessed strength, where you know who you are. You just don't need everybody else to know who you are. And Jenny, who wrote in, I'm just asking you to think about what Gail is saying here. Trace back those lies. Who told you those? Even if it was a person, they're not the source of truth. Jesus is the source of truth. So out of your book, Gail, you started to list some of these, and they're from Scripture. And these are declarations for you, Jenny, and for all of us today. I am more than a conqueror. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm the child of the Most High God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a son of Abraham, a daughter of Zion. I'm delivered. I'm healed. I'm free. I'm walking in the authority of Christ Jesus. I am in my right mind. I am dot, dot, dot. You fill in the blank. And now you know. And we just have to remind our souls, don't we, who we are when we forget.
Yes, we really do. Even if we go back to the blue jeans for a moment, you know, why are blue jeans appeared to be negative? Why does that indicate that someone's image is not okay, if someone's image is not right, if your heart's not right? It's just interesting, and I can get emotional here in sharing for a moment, but it's interesting that for so many of us, we just tear down each other, and we believe it instead of going to God's Word and taking hold of His Word and knowing exactly what He says about us. There's one thing that I have challenged a lot of people in my church is, you know, circle all the prayers you see in the Bible, but then also go through and circle all of the things that God says you are in the Bible and go back and read those and look at those scriptures and take hold of those scriptures, because that's who you are. Mm-hmm. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. And it hurts me to my core how people think that they're hopeless and there's no hope and there's no love and they're so insignificant. And I tell them, you are significant. You are a mighty warrior. Why are you believing the lies of the enemy? And I just want people to wake up from that pit of hell, if you will, and know who they are. I've been on Isaiah 52 for a while now, so since the beginning of 2015, and that Isaiah 52 has so much life in the first four verses where it talks about, come on, wake up. It's a clarion call to wake up, and I'm crying out to people this year saying, wake up, mm-hmm. Know who you are in Christ Jesus, because it's a life change. And it's time for us to live in the abundance that God has given to us. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know who you are.
Indeed, and amen. And you write, here's a final quote from your book, then I'll ask you to pray. You write, there comes a point where we need to realize that the only answer is to believe God. This is freeing. Believing God frees us to let go. It forces us and allows us to focus on standing firm, on trusting and believing what God says. Gail, it's been such a sweet time, and I'm just asking if you'd pray for that person who represents lots of people who's bound up by the lie, whom God wants to set free today. Would you pray?
Sure. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for everyone who is listening to this broadcast. God, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice who have felt lost or defeated or depleted or depressed or oppressed because of the lies that have been spoken into their spirit, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that all that noise will be canceled out, that they would get to the truth because the truth indeed sets them free. God, I pray right now for that person who is contemplating if life is worth living. I want them to know that, yes, it is. God, I'm praying for that person who feels that all hope is gone. Lord, I'm praying that they will realize just how much life they still have left on the inside of them. God, I am praying for every person under the sound of my voice who's ready to just quit. There's so much more before them. There's so much more work to do. There's so much more living to live. There's so many lives that you can still touch. There's so many places you can still go. There's so many more opportunities for you if you would just hold on. God, I pray for that person who's made the decision to uncover all the lies so that they can be healed and live in that abundance. God, see them through every step of the way. God, I'm praying that people will connect one with another and be accountability partners, not to gossip, not to chit-chat, but to truly work on themselves and to live this abundance that you've already given to us. God, I speak peace now to everyone. I'm asking that you would wipe every tear away. I'm asking that you would encourage a soul today. God, I'm even asking for the person who may be without Christ but is listening to this broadcast, and there's something in their spirit that they know it's time for them to say yes. So, God, even as they come into the fold of believers of Jesus Christ, equip them with everything that they need. God, we love you. We bless your name. I pray for Susie. I pray for Live the Promise. I pray for Faith Radio. I pray for every listener. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And hour two is up next. Don't go away. Gail, hang on for just a moment.